wonderfulness and friends, including some fabulous young people who we're so proud of. And every summer, after all the big exams are finished, we like to give them a treat and organise a trip to Alton Towers, the UK's biggest, key point, theme park. Now, usually I like a theme park, but this year I hit a bit of a snag. I got lost. Responsible adult that I am, I got lost. But not just lost in the beautiful gardens or lost in the humongous gift shop. I got lost on the ghost train. A ride which is a combination of motion, illusion, mechanics, special effects about spooks which we don't believe are real, but you really still want to be sitting by someone you know quite well, just in case, you know. Someone you can have a laugh with who maybe doesn't mind if you scream down the rear, you know, when something jumps out at you. Well, we walked into the haunted house, the whole group of us, and the neat British queue that had waited still outside for ages suddenly spread right out to fill the hallway, where the walls were literally closing in on you. And suddenly, there were many other young people who looked like our young people in the dark and in the smoke. And there were many other adults who looked like our adults in the dark and in the smoke. And as the crowd forced its way down this spooky passageway onto the ride, I could hear lovely Becca growing fainter in the distance. Kath! Kath! Where are And there was pushing and there was shoving, and all of a sudden, there I was, buckled onto the ghost train next to a man who was not Dan. Good afternoon, he said very politely, and we were off. That's very funny. It's dark in this room this evening. I know for a fact that at the last acoustic night, someone was very almost sat on, because by candlelight, we can't all see everyone else who is here. In the dark and in the smoke, we might recognize a voice, like I heard Becca in the distance, or even recognize a fragrance as a friend passes by. But if Jesus walked into this room tonight, I wonder, would we recognize him? Whether you're feeling lost in the dark and the smoke of a year that's felt like a bit of a scary ride, or excited by the lights and the glitter of Christmas coming, or somewhere in between, maybe. Do you think you would notice if Jesus walked into the room? What would you do? Would you cherish the moment of holding him close, like Mary did that first Christmas? Would you run to bring him your very best gifts, like the shepherds did? Would you bow down and worship him right here on this floor, like the Magi? Would you exclaim, "Look, the Lamb of God," like John the Baptist? Would you marshal the queues, speak to the press, wash up the cups, but eventually get to walk home with Jesus himself? He loved walking with his friends. If Jesus walked into this room, would you notice him? Would you recognize him? Would you welcome him? Advent means coming. And for over 15 centuries, Advent has been the season of the church throughout the world has set aside, not just to prepare for the coming of Jesus, but to prepare to recognize the coming of Jesus. Advent consists of 4 weeks growing anticipation until eventually on Christmas Day, we'll sing out joy to the world, the Lord has come. Did you know that carol, Joy to the World, which we've set as our theme for this December, was not originally a Christmas carol at all. It was a poem based on Psalm 98, which says, "Shout for joy to the Lord, all the earth." Set to music, this poem soon became a popular hymn about the future when Jesus comes again. But a second coming can't happen without a first. And by the mid-1800s, the churches couldn't resist but sing Joy to the World at Christmas time as well. And now everyone, from the Oxbridge Choirs to Mariah Carey, Johnny Cash to Pentatonix, have recorded their own versions of this same track. Now, whichever version of Joy to the World you'll be listening to this month, during this Advent season, Christians are trying to do three things at once. Number one, we're preparing to celebrate when Jesus first walked into the room, moved into the neighborhood, tabernacled amongst us, became flesh, and made his dwelling among us that very first Christmas in Bethlehem. Two, we're preparing for the second coming of Jesus, when he returns in the future to make all things new. And three, at the same time as preparing to remember that first coming, preparing to welcome that second coming, we're noticing and celebrating Jesus' very presence among us here and now through the Holy Spirit. Advent is the season when we prepare not to miss Jesus when he walks into the room. Advent is a time to listen for footsteps, and you can't hear footsteps if you're running yourself. Advent is the time for acoustic nights, for candlelight, for returning to that favorite song we sang this evening, "Be still, for the presence of the Lord, the Holy One, is here." Henry Nguyen writes that Advent is a time of quiet anticipation. If Christ is going to come again into our hearts, there must be repentance. We must be willing to say sorry for those things that we've done wrong. Without repentance, our hearts will be so full of worldly things that there'll be no room at the inn for Christ to be born again. Have you got room at your inn this Advent? Is there space in your heart to meet with Jesus again? Or has your heart got full of worldly things, even too much of a good thing? Is there anything you want to clear away tonight or say sorry to God for, to prepare to recognize Jesus this Advent? One theologian responded to that challenge this way. He prayed, "I repent of my sinful preoccupation with visible things. You have been here, and I knew it not. You have been here all along, Jesus, and I knew it not. Maybe I couldn't find you in the dark and the smoke of a scary ride. Maybe I lost sight of you in a pushy crowd forcing me away. Maybe I forgot that just because I couldn't see you, it didn't mean you were any less present. Maybe I forgot." About 700 years before Jesus, God's people forgot. They had a miserable existence, battles, poverty. They lived in fear. They'd carved out a cave of gloom by moving away from God, and they'd settled down and got comfortable in it. But we read in the Bible, in Isaiah 9, that God broke in. It says this, "The people walking in darkness have seen a great light. On those living in the land of deep darkness, a light has dawned. For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace." Those wonderful words we sang earlier tell the story of a light that has dawned. Another author puts it this way, "It's dark in the Bible when Christmas is spoken. Always a bolt from the blue for the broken. It's the valley of shadow, the land of the dead. It's no place in the inn, so he stoops to a shed. He's born to the shameful, bends to the weak, becomes the lowly, the God who can't speak." Would you recognize him? The God of infinity dwindled to infancy? Pete Gregg writes, "We believe that God's eternal word once squealed like a baby, and when eventually he learned to speak, it was with a regional accent. The creator of the cosmos made tables, and presumably he made them pretty badly at first. The Holy One of Israel got dirt in the creases of his hands. This then is our creed. We believe in the blasphemous glory of Emmanuel, God with us." we believe in the blasphemous glory of Emmanuel. Why blasphemous? Because God is holy, King of kings, Lord of lords, exalted high above the heavens. Yet through Advent, we remember, though we may not understand, that that same God came to earth that first Christmas. He made himself nothing by taking the very nature of a servant. Being made in human likeness and being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to death, even death on a cross. Therefore, God exalted him to the highest place, gave him the name that is above every name. This then is our creed. We believe in the blasphemous glory of Emmanuel, God with us. And there is our joy. He has been here, even when we didn't know it. But this Advent, will you listen for the footsteps again? Will you make room in your heart, in your inn, to welcome him? And will you meet him? Because he's longing to meet with you. We read in the Bible words that are personally written to each one of us, that you are fearfully and wonderfully made. Your life is not a mistake. God determined the time set for you and where you would live. The very hairs of your head are numbered by him, and his thoughts towards you are countless as the sand on the seashore. If you would like to notice him, to recognize who he is, or to welcome him for the first time this Advent, say a prayer this evening with whatever words you choose, out loud or silently. Take a leaflet or a Bible home to read tonight and share your questions with a Christian you know or one of our team here, and you can keep coming back to church. It's our hope and prayer that you will find the joy to the world that our carol sings of. And if you already know this Jesus, if you're hopeful that yes, I will recognize him if he walks into this room, let me encourage you with these words from 1 Peter 1:8. Though you have not seen him, yet you love him. And even though you do not see him now, you believe in him and are filled with an inexpressible and glorious joy. May you rest in that joy of Advent, confident that the best is yet to come, whilst you proclaim our creed to a world in darkness, that we believe in the blasphemous glory of Emmanuel. So what then of my new friend on the ghost train? Now, this somewhat elderly gentleman was very polite, but he showed no reactions to the spooks jumping out on us as we clattered along the track. Not even a twitch. He looked as if he rode the ghost train every single day. And then it dawned on me, I bet he rides the ghost train every single day. I bet he's an actor. He's part of the attraction. He's about to jump out on me. But it's okay, I got it sussed. In that moment, I'd worked him out, or so I thought. So now I could predict what would happen. I could plan my response, I could control this situation. It would not be embarrassing. One last question. Do we ever do that when Jesus walks into the room? Believe we've got it sussed. We've worked out who he is. We've predicted what will happen. We know how we'll respond. We still have control of a situation. Because I'll let you into a secret. Advent is not actually 4 weeks at all. It's not just one season of this church's year. Life is Advent. Life is recognizing Jesus and joining in with whatever he's doing. And actually, Jesus has walked into this room tonight. He hasn't looked like Jesus of Nazareth with a beard and sandals and a robe. He's looked like our refreshments team and our musicians and every person who's made room for him in their heart. I wonder, did you notice him? Did you recognize him? Did you love him with everything you would want to? Jesus said, whatever you do for the least of people, you do for me. This week, Jesus could look like the refugees you pray for as you watch the news, the lonely person you go to stand with in the office, the children you encourage after the nativity play. When Jesus walks into the room, through his people, or through his very presence, may he find in us kind hearts this Advent and always. May you notice him. May you recognize him. And may you welcome him. Amen. We're going to take a moment to respond to that message. You may wish to do that just seated where you are, in quiet prayer, in thought. Or you may like to come up here. In front of our manger here are some candles. They just flick on with a little switch underneath. The manger is dark tonight, but we believe in a light of the world who has come to shine. And you're invited to come and pick up a candle, switch it on, and pop it in the manger, and let that be your prayer. You could use that as a prayer to say, yes, Jesus, I notice you. Maybe for the first time, I notice you. You could use it as a prayer to say, I recognize you, Jesus, for who you are. I want to know you better. Or you could use it as a prayer to say, I welcome you, Jesus. I welcome you to move in my life this Christmas and to use me to love and serve other people. May our prayers light up that manger, that other people may grow to know him better as they see that light shine.